Kellogg, Tacoma Park, Maryland, July 27, 1904. Dr. Kellogg, dear brother, what is truth? This is a question of the greatest importance to everyone living on the earth. We cannot afford to make haphazard movements now, for Satan is using every possible device to betray souls. He is seeking to allure you, that he may successfully play the game of life for your soul. Christ says to you, let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Isaiah 27, verse 5. I plead with you to respond to this invitation. You do not understand yourself, because for years a deceptive power has been working upon your mind. You seem unable to understand because you are determined to solve certain false scientific problems. This has been and is ruining your religious life. Deceptive theories have been received. When you are under their power, darkness seems to you to be light, and you work as an agent of darkness. With deepest anxiety, I long to see this spiritualistic fog cleared from your senses. You are not living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You have not a daily experimental knowledge of the truth. You twist in one way and then in another, dressing your plans in deceptive garments, until your associates, unable to see things clearly, help you onward in a wrong course. God forbid that they shall be forever blind. I am at times in an agony of distress for your soul. I must tell you that you are often led by the enemy, that often you are listening to his deceptive presentations. You are captivated by these presentations, and unless your eyes are opened, that you may see whither your feet are tending, you will as surely be deceived as were Adam and Eve in Eden. This is a time when Satan's deceptive power is exercised, not only upon the minds of inexperienced youth, but upon the minds of men and women of mature years. Men in positions of responsibility are in danger of changing leaders. This I know, because it has been plainly revealed to me. Christ never compels men to accept him or to believe his words. Were he in the Battle Creek Sanitarium in person, he might not be able to lead all to stand on his side, where they could see the terrible, deceptive working of the tempter. I have been instructed that Satan seeks to link up with men bearing large responsibilities in the Lord's work, in order that he may fill their minds with evil devisings. Under his influence, men will suggest many things that are contrary to the mind of God. Our physicians, upon whom important responsibilities rest, should have clear spiritual discernment, so that they shall not act like blind men. They are to stand constantly on guard. Dangers that we do not now discern will soon break upon us, and I greatly desire that our physicians shall not be deceived. The Lord does not acknowledge the course which you have pursued at our general meetings as pleasing to him. You may think that you have clothed yourself with the garments of righteousness, but should you come thus clothed to the marriage supper of the Lamb, it would be seen that you have on the dress of a civilian. The Lord Jesus was much displeased with your course of action at the General Conference held in Oakland. At one time it was presented to me that evil angels clothed with beautiful garments were escorting you from place to place, inspiring you to speak words of boasting which were offensive to God. Heavenly messengers were viewing all that took place. They heard the words and witnessed the acts that were of a nature to bring glory to men rather than to God. At this time you were not led by the Spirit of God. Your threats that you would bring the law to bear upon those who crossed your track showed that you were in the same condition as those to whom the Laodicean message is addressed. Should I be removed by death, I leave in writing this testimony that you are not yourself. You are not particular to teach the truth, and unless you are converted, you will lead the people of God in strange paths. Sometimes you talk for hours when you are in no condition to talk. These long talks are entirely different from the spirit and methods of the great medical missionary. At such times you are imbued with a spirit that is utterly opposed to God. The spirit and method of these long talks should not be encouraged. You suppose that your power of speech will accomplish wonderful things, but often your suggestion should be met with the words, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God." Mark 8, verse 33. How many there are who forget that there is a perpetual conflict between the Church of God and wicked men who are under the control of evil angels. Till the close of time, God's people will have to engage in this conflict.
My soul is so greatly distressed as I see the working out of the plans of the tempter that I cannot express the agony of my mind. Is the Church of God always to be confused by the devices of the accuser, when Christ's warnings are so definite, so plain? Christ, who could read the human heart, displayed at times the authority of his greatness. With burning earnestness and words of terrible severity, he denounced the abominations that he saw in the church and in the world. He would not allow the people to be deceived by false claims to righteousness and sanctity. His scathing rebukes laid open the deceptions. I too must speak the truth, even though it cuts men to the quick. The Lord has a controversy with those who make of no effect the testimonies of his Spirit. He is dishonored by those who reject the light given concerning Living Temple, telling you that you have been misjudged. The showing at the Battle Creek Sanitarium is not in harmony with the Lord's design for that institution. I have been instructed that in building so large a sanitarium in Battle Creek, men have followed their own devising. They have not been led by the Lord, but have gone directly contrary to the light that he has given. I write these words in order that the example that has been set in Battle Creek shall not be followed in other places, for it is not in accordance with God's plan. Instead of so large an institution being built in one place, plants should have been made in cities in which there is nothing to represent the truth. The sanitarium at Battle Creek will place in close association a large number of believers and unbelievers. The Lord is calling for separation from the world, but this institution will call for the mingling of our youth with worldlings. This association will bring great temptation to the youth. The genuine work of soul saving that could be done were fewer unbelievers gathered together in one place will be greatly retarded. Every believer who constantly realizes his dependence on God has his appointed angels sent from heaven to minister to him. The ministry of these angels is especially essential now, for Satan is making his last desperate effort to secure the world. The movement at Battle Creek is one that will help the enemy to spoil the faith of many. It will tend to destroy the identity of Seventh-day Adventists as the Lord's peculiar people. The enemy will devise many plans to occupy minds and to divert attention from this message. But we are to go forward with our work. The end of all things is at hand. The coming of the Lord in the clouds of heaven, with power and great glory, is very near. At this time, when wickedness is at its height, ministers of the gospel are crying, "Peace and safety." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3. Upon those whose minds are thus set at rest, sudden destruction cometh. Unprepared, they shall not escape. When Christ comes to gather to himself those who have been faithful, the last trump will sound, and the whole earth, from the summits of the loftiest mountains to the lowest recesses of the deepest mines, will hear. The righteous dead will hear the sound of the trump and will come forth from their graves to be clothed with immortality and to meet their Lord. And those who pierced the Savior, those who scourged and crucified him, will also be raised to behold him whom they mocked and despised, coming in the clouds of heaven, attended by the heavenly host, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. This scene has been presented before me as fully as I could bear to behold it. Then the scene has changed, and representations of things existing at the present time have passed before me. I have seen men who have been placed in positions of trust as watchmen, molding and fashioning the work in accordance with worldly policy which God condemns. The medical missionary work is sick and needs the restoring power of the great healer before it can accomplish a work in harmony with its name. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near, and hasteth greatly. Zephaniah 1, verse 14.
Christ gave his life for the salvation of the world. One place is not to be worked over and over again, while other parts of God's world are left barren and unworked. God's only begotten Son gave his life as a propitiation for the sins of the whole world. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ also hath loved us, Paul writes, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Ephesians 5, verse 2. This he did that we may be all that he desires us to be, representatives of him, living lives that reveal his fragrance of character, his purity of thought. He died that others, beholding him, might be led to desire to be like him, pure and undefiled, wholly acceptable to God, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing.